This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Here's another Saturday Magazine podcast brought to you by Joy sponsor, Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
This is Saturday Magazine.
Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9. Macca here and Matt Wade from Star Observer. We're joined by Toby Helligan, the recently appointed, minted and as yet not suffering producer of The Informer.
That's right.
That's the benchmark, so long as you're not suffering.
That's right.
I'm not suffering in silence, certainly. Yeah. Being radio by its very nature.
Yeah. So, Toby, you threw your hat into the ring.
Mm-hmm. I did.
You've got lots of other media commitments and other things happening. Mm-hmm. Why did you do so?
I actually unsurprisingly listened to quite a few programs on Joy, including The Informer in the last couple of years. And I have always quite enjoyed doing kind of proper journalism. And there aren't as many people in this country doing journalism of any kind as you'd be, you know, being from the Star Observer, you'd appreciate. And it struck me there were a lot of stories on LGBTIQ plus issues that weren't really being unpacked properly or explored properly by the mainstream press. So when the opportunity came up, I wanted a chance to, work with like the team of volunteers we've got here at Joy to investigate those stories and actually explain them properly. Like to give you one example of a story we were kind of unpacking in our second episode on Thursday. It's about a new study on STI rates of men on PrEP and patterns of their condom use, right? And so this is a study of over 4,000 guys over quite a long
period
of time.
That's a sizable sample too.
Yeah. It was a really big study. It's really interesting. And what it found was, firstly, the rate of STIs. So these guys are having condomless sex often, and a small subgroup of them are having a lot of condomless sex. And what the study found was that their STI rates were a bit higher than the rest of the male population, but much less high, very, very good with words on a Saturday morning, than they would have expected. And they put a lot of that down to the fact that they were getting tested much more regularly. So what was happening is, you know, if a guy got an STI, he would be, you know, tested 2 months later and they would get the STI kind of treated right away, right? So the way the LGBTI plus press reported it was, and so the other interesting finding was that condom use, because some of these guys were using condoms, didn't actually stop STIs spreading. So these are non-HIV STIs, things like gonorrhea and chlamydia. Mm. These guys would still get them whether they were wearing condoms because, of course, oral. Sorry to talk about oral on a Saturday morning, because I was trying to work out when I was talking to these guys who'd run the study, that's exactly it. And no one wears condoms during oral. Well, I mean, if you do, then, well, anyway, whatever. I'm not judging, certainly.
I've just got a vision.
What a horrible
thing.
Banana flavour. Oh, God. Anyway, right. It was a really interesting study, right? And the LGBTI plus press reported that and the implications for condoms, which was also the stuff that the researchers said they found interesting. All these mainstream medical journals, in particular in the US, their headlines were "Men on PrEP have more STIs." Right. It was absolutely focused on the stuff that the researchers said weren't the big takeaways, that were actually much more reduced than they expected. And so we got the researchers on, unpacked it, we spoke to Thorn Harbour and a few other people, because there is this ongoing prejudice, I think, against men on PrEP in particular, but obviously against every bit of the LGBTIQ plus acronym when it comes to how news stories get reported.
Look, there's a prejudice, and to take up on that point, you know, that there's a bit of a prejudice in mainstream media as opposed to queerstream that is about, you know, men on PrEP. Well, I say there are active campaigns in mainstream media against queer sex, whether it's related to PrEP, whether it's related, you know, whether it's STIs. You know, no pun intended, the whipping boys, if you're gay, for a lot of this ill-informed campaign. And it's up to us at Joy, Saturday Magazine, The Informer and other programs, and Star Observer, to actually set the record straight.
And to piggyback off of that, I mean, that prejudice that you referred to, I mean, that also manifests in the queer community as well. And that's why I think reporting on a story like you just mentioned in the way that you just mentioned is so important because, I mean, obviously about a month ago we heard that a man in Sydney was diagnosed with HIV while taking PrEP.
Yes.
And as a result, I mean, at least I can speak on behalf of the Star Observer, we got many messages. I got many messages from people that were implying that it was wrong for us to publish that story because, you know, everyone now is going to think PrEP doesn't work. But having that piece come out and also show that it actually wasn't really because of PrEP that people were contracting STIs. It wasn't because of not using a condom. It was for other reasons. Mm-hmm. It's informative and it's something that the community needs to read so they can be aware of the actual issue more broadly so that it can eliminate stigma and prejudice amongst ourselves, not even just outside of that as well. Yeah.
So big plans, Toby. What's if you had who would be the two people you'd like to have on the show the most?
That's a good question.
To put them under the microscope, to put the pressure on them.
I wouldn't mind asking some questions of Scott Morrison, I reckon, which I know a lot of the LGBTI plus community wouldn't. We don't necessarily want to hear more from Scott Morrison. Look, I actually got to have a quick chat with Penny Wong, who I think, and I know, you know, obviously Penny's spoken to a number of shows, like she's been on, you know, Saturday Magazine, but I think the role she's playing right now in Australian politics is fascinating, and she's going to be in, if Labor were to win, a very senior foreign minister. Mm. I'm also a big believer, and look, I'll admit I like Penny. I know Penny a little bit, not particularly well, but, you know, like I like Penny Wong. But if she's going to be the foreign minister, I also think there are some interesting questions that would be worth asking, for example, because that's a powerful position.
But is it going to be, and think back, and this is not to beat Penny up, when Labor policy did not support marriage equality, and Penny did, and she had to toe the party line. So let's just fast forward 6 months. Labor's won the election. She's the foreign minister. The Sultan of Brunei is continuing to be a homophobic bigot. And the issue comes up again. And as foreign minister, what does she say? Oh, we're making representations. You know, it's very important. Is it going to be the same case where she's going to have to spout a line that, you know, whilst I don't agree with it, you know, I think it's abhorrent, but as foreign minister, you know, I've got to be nice to people. It'd be pretty awful.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is one of the challenges of power, And I think one of the reasons as well, this is another reason why I wanted to take on the job of the Informer in particular, because I think a lot of our media conversations, and having worked in the commercial media, like The Project and things like that, and ABC, there is this pressure to, right, we're going to hold your feet to the fire. Oh, we've got you on, and no, you're wrong. You know, I don't know whether you guys saw the coverage this week of a reporter yelling at Bill Shorten.
Oh,
saying,
yeah, I did.
How much will your climate policy cost? Right? Like, people are under this pressure, whereas I find when you actually have conversations with a lot of politicians.
And we have the time with our shows to do this.
Yes, whether they're Conservative or whether they're Labor or whether they're Greens, and you give people a chance to explain themselves and you unpack things, there are interesting conversations to be had there, right? Like as Foreign Minister, Penny Wong's got, if she became Foreign Minister, some complex responsibilities. So Australia has counter-terrorism relationships with Brunei, for example. Mm-hmm. Australia right now is selling weapons to Saudi Arabia.
Yes.
And that it would be for the Defence Minister to sign off on, but we're making $3.4 billion off selling guns to Saudi Arabia, a place that, again, treats queer people and women and people in Yemen pretty horrifically. So they're questions, I think, that would be worth asking, Penny. I think she would... There would be moments where, again... You know, like even someone I think that we all agree is a person of character has to, because of the nature of her role, defend policies that are hard to accept at face value. Mm. But I think sometimes part of being in the media is acknowledging that's kind of the nature of the system we have set up. We can call people on that.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's easy, I think, to simplify how government works, you know.
Like, but we have the advantage because we ask the questions we can.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Actually, with the current, the new iteration of The Informer, I mean, previously it was a half-hourly show and now it's for a full hour. Is that correct?
Yeah, it is.
So you have the opportunity to kind of delve in more deeply, I guess, with your interviewees. It's not as kind of tight-packed you're able to kind of... Am I right?
That's right. And so it means as well we've got a bit more... So this week we actually had a quick chat with Penny when I went down to the Pride Centre and ask her a couple of questions about her take on Gladys Liu's comments, yep. who's the Liberal candidate for Chisholm. We also spoke to Jason Ball about that, and Israel Folau, and got a chance to have a slightly more expansive interview with Jason about his time in sport and the impact that homophobia had
that's
on him.
That's where it brings it home, is that that was, you know, Jason's experience, the reason that, you know, it was so difficult for him to come out and took him a while to come out was because those sort of attitudes
that
in
culture,
sport,
yeah.
and that culture, like, you know, it just makes it hard. So, sorry, Penny. So Penny Wong, ScoMo, who else? Because you've done Penny now.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, like, I think there are also some LGBTI figures, I think, who are in positions of influence. So on the Brunei story, for example, I'd like to talk to the CEO of Qantas,
yes.
Mr. Joyce, about his, you know, like, exactly how he... How he manages those kinds of relationships.
Because Virgin made a change to their commercial arrangements with Brunei.
Yeah. And
you know, Qantas haven't.
They haven't. And the answers, you know what, sometimes as well, I think part of our responsibility at The Informer is to unpack these stories because sometimes... And there are moments where, like, I was obviously horrified by the Brunei decision, right? But I began talking to companies like Flight Centre, and one of the things Flight Centre, who are continuing to sell flights to with Brunei, Royal Brunei Air, was they said a number of their clients are people who are going to Brunei for humanitarian purposes or to visit their family. Now, should those people be able to access flights? Like, I think that's a legitimate question. Now, I still don't like the airline. I don't want the airline to make money, but I think as a journalist, as an EP of a news program, part of my responsibility, part of the Informer's responsibility is to tell people. So, you know, whatever our general position is on the morality of something, here are some other things to think about. You know, you can't just... You've got to let the news lead.
I've an idea. Like. Israel Folau, do Brunei have a soccer team? He could go there and play for them.
I tried to have a chat to Israel, I've got to say, because I'm interested as well about, and that's not to say, like, there are obviously some voices where, you know, I think it would be irresponsible to amplify them, but I would be interested in speaking to him to actually unpack what he actually thinks.
Because he did defend the comments that he made, the more recent ones, like the social media post, and just said he stands by it and something along the lines of that. But I haven't really heard him speak specifically about where those... I know, obviously, they're religious, but I don't really know how he got to that point. Because a lot of media outlets picked up on the fact that he was on the Star Observer front cover back in 2014.
Yeah,
so
good plug.
There's been some sort of shift, obviously, over the past...
Oh, he said that was about supporting... the Bingham Cup.
Yeah.
Well, that's a gay, which is a gay thing, though. Like, it's interesting. But, and I agree.
I think, you know, there are conversations to be had with someone like Israel about the complexity of managing faith and prejudice. Mm-hmm. Because I think it's possible for someone to be religious and not be a bigot. And the problem is when you're covering social media and with the way social media posts like that get covered, I think everyone's presumed he hates gay people. He might, but it'd be interesting to find out.
Send in the link to your Jason Ball chat.
Yeah, I will.
Yeah.
I will.
Get him to listen. Mm. We're nearly out of time, Toby, and you're well familiar with that. Want to flag any upcoming chats that people should hook into?
We're going to be doing a number of investigations. Well, next week we're actually speaking to a number of LGBTI plus soldiers who at different points, who have served at different points. Serving soldiers can't speak, but who left the military in different circumstances, many honourably, and Noah Reisman about a book he's written about LGBTI soldiers in the military in the lead up to Anzac Day.
Which is great. Serving in Silence, I think it's called.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's an excellent book.
Well, welcome to Joy officially.
It's a pleasure.
I can't give you an official welcome, but welcome to Joy.
I feel like you can. I'll take it as an official.
You know, and it's great, you know, what you're doing with the program, and I think all of us here, you know, independent journalism is really important. You can never, ever take your personal view out of it. That's not possible.
Yeah, I agree.
But at the end of the day, I think it's, you know, it's great for Joy. It's great for The Informer. And I'm really glad you made that decision.
Thanks very much.
And so how can people tune in? It's on Thursdays?
Yeah, it's on Thursdays at 7 p.m. And we're also releasing the show in sections as a podcast. So cool. There's particular sections of it. Yeah.
And, of course, those podcasts you can get on iTunes for free. Mm-hmm. So when was the last time we got something free from Apple? But also on Spotify.
Yeah, that's right. Absolutely.
Yeah. Great, so, that's awesome.
So subscribe, and if you like it, please review it because it makes a difference.
That's right.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.